Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, set in our hearts the historical truth that Christ has been raised from the dead. Set it so solidly in us that we know our faith is not in vain, and we know our loved ones who have fallen asleep are not lost. But at the appointed time, we will all be reunited in a resurrection like Christ, to live eternally with you along with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Each week as we gather to worship the one true God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there's a time that we confess the faith, most often using the ancient creed known as the Apostles' Creed. We express the witness of Holy Scripture and the testimony of the apostles. Revelation and testimony show there is one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. In the third article of the Apostles' Creed, we find the communion of saints. And as you say those four words, the communion of saints, what comes to your mind? Do you see all those faithful people, all the saints of ages past, and all the saints of the present time, and all the saints of the years to come? Do you hear the believers through the ages confessing the faith with you? Do they come to your mind, those believers of the past? Do they come to your mind, your fellow believers around the world this day? And do you look forward to those who will come to know Christ through you, to be a part of that fellow believer in the years to come? All together, believing in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Altogether, that past, the present, the future believers are saints united in the communion of saints, in that one communion which is the common salvation in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. On this All Saints Sunday, we recall the believers of the past, especially our loved ones. A day that we know mortality does take hold. This human life, this physical body is mortal and does die. We've watched loved ones die. Each of us knows that one day we too will die. Yes, we mourn the death of our loved one. But our mourning is not because it is the end of all things. It's we miss them. We love them. And you see, we're not without hope either. We have a hope. Even through our tears cascading down our cheeks as we cry, we can still rejoice, for we know death is defeated. For following in that confession of faith, the following the communion of saints in the Apostles' Creed, we confess forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting. Through Christ, a tremendous thing has happened that unites all believers in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Forgiveness of sin, salvation of soul, and the gift of eternal life. Life found only in Christ Jesus. Listen to John. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Life, eternal life, is in the Son precisely because of the finished work of the Son. Jesus Christ crucified, dying, buried, and rising. John chapter 20, the Gospel of John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The letter of John, first letter of John, chapter 1, verse 2. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Letter of John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. This life is ours through Jesus Christ only. Throughout the letter of John, there has been a threefold thread running through it. And those three threads are the evidence, the proof that you indeed are a child of God. Using the words of the Apostle John, that you are born of God, giving you assurance that you indeed are a child of God and that you do have eternal life. These three threads concern what you believe, how you love, and how you live. The first thread, what you believe. You have that first thread in your life when, by believing what the Scriptures and the Apostles teach concerning Jesus Christ. You have the second thread by loving, truly loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you have that third thread by living a life out of love, in obedience to the commands of God, walking in God's principles of what is right and moral for your guideline in daily life. These three threads can be summarized as truth, love, and righteousness. You believe the truth, you live in love, and out of that love you live a righteousness in obedience to God's words. Living this way, the Apostle John reminds us, is not burdensome. It is simply living out the truth that you are a child of God, born of God. That special relationship you have with the Father because you are born of God. You love God, you love God's Son, you love the fellow children of God, and in your love for God, you obey God's commands concerning living life each day, precisely because you are his child. Being a child of God is seen through you being different than a child of this world. You have overcome this world's ways precisely because you are born of God, for in faith you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, and John points to the testimony of the Spirit, the water, and the blood, a testimony that comes from God, greater than any human testimony possibly could ever be. This is God's testimony given about the Son. The Spirit, I point you to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 26. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. A little later in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and make it known to you. Water and blood. John again stresses that Jesus was real, physical. He had blood. Not that Gnostic, otherworldly phantom, too holy for this physical world. John told us Jesus was seen, Jesus was touched, just like any other human. He was very much physically real and fully the Son of God. Martin Luther pointed to the water, meaning baptism, and the blood, meaning the cup of forgiveness poured out, his blood of Holy Communion. Augustine pointed to the spear piercing Christ's side, making clear that Jesus physically died on that cross. Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 34 and 35. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth and he testifies so that you also may believe. John was there and he saw the water and blood flow. And still others point to John, meaning the breaking of water at birth, that physical birth of Jesus, and the blood of the physical death of Jesus poured out on the cross. Tertullian, he points to the water, meaning Jesus' baptism. And the blood was Jesus' death dying on the cross. Tertullian points to the water because Jesus did not have to repent for any sins at his baptism. Rather, Jesus was identifying as one of us, sinful humanity, when he came by the water. Then when he came by the blood, Jesus stood in our stead and took our place as guilty sinner, receiving the full brunt and full burden of sin's debt. This points to the essential truth and central understanding that Jesus Christ is the one who came by water and blood, that his life and death brought God's salvation to us. That is the life redeeming testimony. Jesus brought God's salvation to us. Believe God's testimony about the Son that brings salvation to you. A salvation that is very real, specifically through Jesus' resurrection from the dead. No, by faith, resting on historical truth, there is life after physical death. Christ has been raised. With Christ's resurrection, the redemption through forgiveness is fulfilled, and salvation is open to all who believe. That physical resurrection is critical to the faith. The Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17 through 19. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. We are to be pitied more than those who have also fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. What Paul is saying is that unless Christ has been raised, physically, bodily raised from the grave, his death on the cross has no redeeming power, no propitiation, no atonement, no forgiveness, no salvation. With the result, all who have died are lost, and the hope in Christ is hollow and empty. If that physical bodily resurrection did not happen, there is no resurrection. Those who've died, they're lost. Our hope is empty. Our faith is futile, and we're still in sin. But Paul tells us, and the testimony of Scripture tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 22, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. In Christ, all that was the consequence of the fall of Adam has been overcome in Christ. Resurrection of the dead is true. That means those who have fallen asleep in Christ are not lost. It means your faith is not futile. It means you are not still in your sin. It means you are forgiven. You have hope, and your hope in Christ is well placed. The people received this letter from John were questioning their salvation, questioning their eternal life. John clearly explains that Jesus, the John, God has given you eternal life. And this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. On this All Saints Sunday, be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And know with certainty you are born of God and have eternal life. Your loved ones who've gone before you, who believed, they are born of God. They have eternal life. And to all who believe, you are born of God. God has given you eternal life. Great comfort, great joy is ours, now and forever. For God has given us eternal life. Amen.